Well, welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Monday, December 23rd, 2024. And what you just heard there in the intro is a new song that I've developed for the show. It's a song about Brighttown, and there's an interesting story about that song, of course, that is partially AI generated. I did the prompting and the lyrics, and you know, I controlled the AI in order to generate that. But I'm going to play the whole song for you coming up and sort of talk about how AI is actually enhancing human creativity and requiring more participation from an imagination standpoint among the users. I mean, I spent much of the weekend actually generating new songs and new song versions for several songs. For example, we have now reimagined Vaccine Zombie from, what was that, 2012? So we have a whole new Vaccine Zombie. It's already done. And it's I did it in a slightly different style. And I used AI enhancement for the song. And it really required a lot of work on my part. But then I decided to do a whole new song. And it's just a completely different song on a different topic. It's called Ignorance is Bliss. And that song, which you'll hear, I mean, not today, but you'll hear it coming up with a music video. It's extraordinary. And it was so delightful to be able to use these AI music tools to express creativity. And it really turned on my brain. So the popular belief about AI is that it dumbs people down and it replaces people's thoughts. And in my experience, that is not true at all. The AI tools allow humans to express themselves in ways that were simply not possible before. This is true in writing with AI text generation. It's true in images. It's true in video. And it's true in music. And because of these tools, I have been able to create songs much more quickly because I have the kind of mind that's always, you know, always have lots of ideas, and I can hear it in my head. You know, I can hear the song, I can hear the way I want it to go, but it used to take weeks to translate that into effort, you know, through effort into a finished product. Now that process only takes hours. So let me cover some news here today, and then we'll come back to this AI demonstration, and I'll play the full song for you here called Brighttown, Bring It On. A lot of fun with that song. All right, so first, let me tell you, the interview coming up today is with Brian Festa with We the Patriots USA. I recorded that audio only on Friday, I believe. And they just filed a new lawsuit that is news breaking. And he's got updates on some of the big lawsuits for health freedom that his nonprofit organization filed over this year. And so we've got a really great update with Brian Festa coming up. In terms of the news over the weekend, of course, the drones are all still flying around. And I've got a special report on the drones. I actually did publish this report yesterday, but I'm going to include it here today. It's about the three origins. We're now settling on, when I say we, I mean those of us in alt media who have a lot of knowledge and contacts and so on, we're all settling on about three possibilities. And that is, number one, China origin. These are for the mystery drones, not the ones that we know, they're U.S. drones, but the ones that have stealth capabilities, things like that, the ones that zip away and do high G maneuvers. We think they're either, number one, China origin, number two, ET AI origin, like they're AI systems from ETs, or three, that they are secret weapons of maybe the CIA. That's the Jeffrey Prather theory. And as such, it would represent a coup against the United States government. So I'll play that special report coming up here about the origin of the drones. Also, over the weekend, Trump announced that he wants America to take back the Panama Canal, which was handed over to Panama, I think, in 97. Was it 1997? And Panama has run it ever since. And it is a key passageway for naval navigation, but also, of course, commercial cargo navigation. And the U.S. economy is heavily dependent on ships traversing the Panama Canal, which, of course, is not just a canal. It's a series of locks where the ship has to go. It has to be lifted up to the level of the inland sea, I don't know, or lake or whatever it is. I guess it would be a giant lake. And then on the other side, it has to be dropped back down to ocean level. So there are a series of locks, and they pump water, you know, to raise the ship up or to lower it down, etc. This is critical for U.S. trade, like I said, but it's also critical for the travel of naval or strategic military vessels. And China has been increasingly influencing Panama in a number of ways. And there's apparently a lot of concern all of a sudden from Trump that the Panama Canal is being, or at risk of being taken over by China. So Trump said, basically, we want it back. And then the political leader of Panama said, you can't have it back. It's all ours. So, I mean, that's the really short version. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. I mean, the last time the U.S. invaded Panama, didn't that involve Noriega? Wasn't that in the 1980s? Yeah, pretty sure. Maybe we'll do it again. What a wild world, huh? Okay, also Trump announced we're going to be leaving the WHO. You might say, who? Yes, that's exactly. Remember, Trump got us out of the Paris Climate Accords. They were called Accords because no one signed it as a treaty. So when they want to make something sound kind of official, even though the senators never signed it, it was never approved, they just call it Accords, which is short for according to us, but not according to you. So Trump got us out of the Paris Climate Accords, and I think Biden shoved us back in, or at least in that direction. Trump's going to remove us from the WHO, which is great because the WHO and the UN, you know, they've been pushing all of these globalist, tyrannical medical police state demands that say things like, anytime we say there might be a pandemic somewhere, you have to lock everybody down in quarantine camps and things like that. Things that we don't want to abide by because they're insane. So this is a great move by Trump. Well, it's an announcement of a move. So I guess we'll see if that's what actually happens. All right. Another piece of news, very interesting over the weekend, is that an F-18 Hornet fighter aircraft, which is part of the Navy, was shot down over the Red Sea. It has apparently two pilots in it, and they both ejected. One was injured, minor injuries, you can imagine. I think just being ejected from the jet might cause minor injuries. Kind of lucky to survive that whole thing. But the Pentagon says that it wasn't the Yemen military or Yemenis. They didn't shoot it down. They say, we shot it down ourselves. So the USS Gettysburg is a missile cruiser. And apparently it's part of the Harry S. Truman Carrier Strike Group. Well, the USS Gettysburg fired a missile, you know, surface-to-air missile, and blew up the fighter jet. And that fighter jet was on the way to landing at the USS Harry S. Truman aircraft carrier. Well, it didn't make it. It got blown up. Or, as we say, it got blowed up. And apparently, we are told by the Pentagon that, or at least it's implied, that they thought this F-18 might have been a drone from Yemen. You know, Houthi drones. The Tutti Frutti Houthis launched a drone and the Navy shooty down. So, but it wasn't a drone, it was an F-18. And as a result, the Pentagon looks incredibly stupid, or at least the Navy looks incredibly incompetent at this point. Now, is this a cover story? Did Yemen actually manage to shoot down an F-18 Hornet? We have to consider that as a very real possibility. And in that case, this friendly fire explanation could be just a cover story. So the two possibilities here, at least in my mind, are Number one, Yemen shot it down. And the Pentagon doesn't want to admit that because that would be crazy embarrassing to say that, you know, U.S. aircraft carriers are being blown out of the sky by goat herders who have really advanced weapons, by the way. I guess they're not just goat herders. I mean, that's the way the West talks about them. But they're not just goat herders. They've got ballistic missiles. They've got seaborne drones. They've got all kinds of things. Or the other explanation, which is the one we've been given, is that no, we shot it down ourselves. It's friendly fire. Because apparently, admitting that the U.S. Navy is utterly incompetent is less embarrassing than admitting that Yemen shot down one of our fighter jets. You see? See how that works? I don't believe anything coming out of the Pentagon. Do you? You believe John Kirby? No. All he does is lie constantly. Everything's a cover story out of the Pentagon. We just don't know for sure who shot this thing down. Could have been an operator on the missile carrier. Just said, hey, isn't that a blip on the radar? And hit go, you know. It's a blip. Shoot the blips. Or it could have been Yemen shot it down. And they're all celebrating in Yemen right now. They're like, yeah, hula, yeah, yeah. And the Pentagon's like, what kind of cover story can we come up with to minimize the damage? Oh, let's say we shot it down. Okay. Either way, Navy looks retarded, doesn't it? Now, the Pentagon admits that an assault was taking place. I mean, that's why the F-18 Hornet was in the area. It was, I guess, bombing targets in Yemen. So it was, you know, close enough to bomb. So that could mean it's close enough to shoot down, too. Maybe Yemen just popped a surface-to-air missile out of a hut or something. It's like, surprise, Yankees, you know. And then takes out a F-18. Okay. So I can only imagine if Yemen or Iran or Russia manages to sink a U.S. naval vessel, like the USS Gettysburg, let's say they sink it, no doubt we'll be told, well, it was friendly fire. Another naval vessel shot the Gettysburg and sank it accidentally, thinking it was a Yemeni's surface drone on the water. Yeah, that's what happened. We are living in a Truman Show of lies. Everything that we are told by the Pentagon and the corporate media is a cover-up, a distortion, a distraction, or an outright lie. And that includes things about the economy, things about the dollar, things about the debt, things about history, things about war, obviously, things about the vaccines and science and the drones and all of it. You're just being lied to all the time. It's just a question of sort of which flavor of lie is being served up today. It's like, you know, 31 flavors of lies. You know, there's the Rocky Road lie and the Banana Fanta lie and all that stuff. But it's all lies. All right, so that's really all the news I wanted to cover. There's other stuff, but it's not as important. I wanted to give you a heads up about this AI music topic here. So like I said earlier, this weekend I spent quite a bit of time using the AI music tools, and I've been able to, through the use of those tools, generate some really remarkable music that I'll be rolling out for you in the next days and weeks, and it's going to be really something. Your mind will be blown, because here's what I discovered. So I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, bragging or anything, but there are not very many people in the world today that are really, really well informed on AI prompt engineering who also happen to be accomplished musical artists. Or accomplishments in some way, you know, like my song, I Want My Bailout Money. Remember that from 2008? That was featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, right? So not the cover of the Rolling Stone, but the front page of the Wall Street Journal. I've done other songs like Vaccine Zombie, which were very popular in their day. 2012, I think, is when that came out. But I Want My Bailout Money was really popular. And I've done other songs since then, of course. I had to, you know, perform the lyrics and do all the editing and and you know, arranging. And sometimes I would use licensed tracks and I would add in riffs and beats, and I would do rearrangements, and I would add various background vocals and sound effects and things like that. It's sort of a painstaking process of assembling the songs. And if you go back and listen to I Want My Bailout Money, you know, that was really the first rap song that I did publicly. And people were shocked at how fun it was. It was really, you know, it really just made a splash. Well, now we fast forward 16 years. And today we have really advanced AI systems. And we have AI music generation systems that are available online. And using them, however, really using them well requires knowledge of how AI systems work, which is something that I've been steeped in for the last year, you know, building AI systems at brighteon.ai, releasing AI language models, and working on the new AI system called Enoch, which will be released March 1st, if not sooner. And it's revolutionary. And we've even begun deploying AI tools in-house at naturalnews.com. So we have AI assistance with a lot of our content. And we use AI tools in-house to do executive summaries of research reports that our writers can then, you know, it helps our writers with ideas, helps them organize. Sometimes we use AI as a source when it's a knowledge-based thing. Like we'll ask an internal AI engine, what are the nutrients found in blueberries, right? And then we'll cite the AI in the story. So we have found a multitude of uses for AI language models. And in this process, we've built internal tools. And you know, obviously, I'm the one that's driving this process internally. And I've been innovating a lot of prompt engineering. Prompt engineering means building prompts that, which is a like a statement that you give the AI engine, which tells it to produce what you want. So for example, as a simple prompt, you could say, acting as a songwriter, generate a rap song about puppy dogs and clouds in the sky or whatever. Even though that's a really short prompt, it would then generate lyrics based on that idea. It would just generate really not that great lyrics, but some kind of lyrics for that kind of a song. Well, getting good results out of AI systems requires really in-depth prompt engineering, a lot of experience, a lot of, starting with training, but then trial and error and understanding how AI systems think. And they do reason now, that's another topic. But it turns out that everything I learned about prompt engineering over the last year with our in-house models and our AI development, it also works for music. So I found a bunch of tricks. I discovered a bunch of tricks, I guess. I mean, I tried them out and found what worked, and none of them are documented. I found that I'm able to tell these music AI engines to do things that they normally don't do. And as a result, with my musical background and AI background, I was able to put together some just freaking stunning, stunningly good songs that you will hear. We're putting together music videos for them starting today, actually, and that's what's going to take some time. But they're incredibly good. However, early in the process of this, one of the first things I did was I thought, well, gosh, let me just generate a song for Brighteon that's actually for Brighteon Broadcast News, for this podcast. And I really... This was the first thing that I did with the music generating AI system. And so it's not great. It's good, but not nearly as good as what you'll hear later, you know, another time. But this is still pretty good. And I was just putting together something that just talks about, you know, the health ranger brings you the truth, you know, exposes the lies, and you can find it on Brighteon. Okay, that's pretty much the concept. Of course, I wrote all the lyrics. I put it into the system. I used prompt engineering and described the musical styles, the vocal styles, the reverb and chord progressions, and you know, different types of things. You can even describe what kind of instruments you want. You can describe tempos and tempo changes and transpose key changes and things like that. So if you're a musician and you know what all that means, you can use AI engines to generate the music that's in your head. You know, if you have an idea in your head, you're like, gosh, I wish I could just make that real. Well, now you can. So I'm going to play for you now a song that is, it's called Brighteon, Bring It On. And remember, I wrote the lyrics, and this was just a first take, really. But it's still pretty good. So give this a listen, and then I'll continue on the other side. Here it is, Brighteon, Bring It On.
In a world where lies are spun tight, there's a voice of truth breaking through with light. The Health Ranger reveals what's right. Broadcast the truth, make the shadows take flight. He opens doorways to set you free. Opens the eyes of the blind to help them see. Dispelling sorcery and clearing spells. Learn the truth and unleash yourself. The lines are drawn. He speaks the truth and rights the wrongs. Damn the false narratives, damn the war. We can live in peace, we can get along. Abundant life is a gift to humanity. Pushing back against rising insanity. The masses wake up, red-pilled alive. On Brighteon, you can take a rabbit hole dive.
Okay, interesting song. Hope you enjoyed it. Now, we will put out a version with lyrics on the screen in case you had any difficulty following those lyrics. But I'll probably, this is not the final version of the song. There are some there's some verse changes, some word changes that I want to put in, and some stylistic differences. But I just wanted to demonstrate that for you, because if you've never used AI tools to generate music, you probably, like, your jaw is probably on the floor right now. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that you can do that? Well, yes, you can. You can do that with the help of music models. You know, I talk about language models for generative text, but these are music models. And again, I want to say, doing this process for me, this did not turn my brain off. It turned my brain on. Like the song says, brighty on, turn it on, bring it on. Using AI tools requires you as a human being to imagine what you want and then to direct a system to do it and then to monitor that or assess that, make corrections. It puts you in charge of essentially, you know, singers and songwriters and instrument players and sound engineers and everything, but all those are virtual, and it requires you to be the creator. So one of the reasons I wanted to play this for you is to demonstrate what's possible, but also to explain that as AI models take over much of the world, which they will do, I promise you, they're not going to just flat out replace all the people. They're only going to replace people who have no imagination. I mean, they're going to replace people who do really boring, mundane tasks, like typists, you know, or I mentioned in another report, like the drilling of teeth by a dentist. So dentists, you know, they're technicians. They do a lot of drilling. But that's not the best use of a dentist's knowledge. A dentist, even though they have the physical skills, that's kind of the equivalent of an author having to do the typing or a musician having to play out the notes on a keyboard. As AI takes over all of these systems, a dentist will still have a very important role, which is to diagnose the issue, to plan what's going to happen. How do we repair this tooth? How do we extract this tooth? How do we crown this tooth? What are we doing here? What's the big picture of this person's meth mouth or whatever it is? The dentist has the plan. The dentist has the ideas. The dentist then tells the AI robot what to do. And the AI robot figures out how to do the mundane task, the drilling, the filling, the sealing, whatever, even the billing, because there'll be an AI agent on the accounting side that'll do the billing. So the dentist is still there, really critical, you see? Just like someone who wants to write a book. Now, they don't need to type every letter. What they need to do is be the architect of the book. They need to describe it. They need to describe, let's say it's a fiction book. They need to define the characters, define the arc of the story, define the key conflicts of the story. They shape the story, but they don't have to type all the letters. You see, just like I created this song. I mean, it's in my mind. I created the lyrics. I described what I wanted. I shaped it. I kind of sculpted it. But I didn't have to play any instruments, and I didn't, that's not my voice, right? And I can have it create any voice I want, you know, male, female, uncertain, you know, whatever. So AI is going to allow people who have ideas to be far more expressive, to be far more productive, and to have more enjoyment in life. It's very stimulating cognitively to work with AI tools. You know, for example, think about images. You can use prompting to generate images that are extraordinary, even though you may not know how to sketch or paint or use colored pencils or whatever. Maybe you just don't have the physical skills and you don't need them anymore. You tell the engine what you want. You describe it. You sculpt it from words to images or from words to video or from words to music. And this is the phenomenon that I'm really trying to help everybody understand. I know there's a lot of legitimate fear in our industry about evil AI. And I completely agree with that concern. And I've sounded that myself. You know, I talk about centralized control over AI models as being very, very dangerous to humanity. I talk about the dangers of Skynet. I talk about the dangers of AI robots turning against you and so on. But I don't want to forget to mention the incredible promise that AI brings us. The shocking array of new things that it can help us do. This is truly a singularity moment for human civilization, 2024. I can tell you, this is the year that AI broke through. This will be forever stamped in history. 2024 is the year that AI essentially was born. I mean, real AI that does things that are extraordinary, but still have to be guided by people, because it's people that direct them. It's people that have the intention. It's people that have the plan of how they want to use these tools. Now, you might say, well, and I've said, unfortunately, governments of the world are going to want to weaponize AI. One of the reasons they're putting so much money into AI is to function as a weapon. And it already has been weaponized by some governments. For example, how many of the comments on Twitter that are pro-Israel are actually AI robots run by Israel? I don't know the answer, but it's a pretty big number. You know, Mossad has already weaponized AI to support Israel's interests, just as China has weaponized AI to support China's interests. Well, the same thing is going to happen with the U.S. government, and AI agents are already working in the info war space in order to try to control narratives and so on. And that's happening right now, every day. A very significant percentage of the accounts that you see on Twitter and Facebook and wherever are not humans. Not humans at all. They're AI systems. So the human side of this is it's really critical for those of us who are pro-humanity and want to help defend humanity and want to also help humanity express its full potential. I truly believe we need to embrace, but be able to control this technology so that we can use it for our goals, which are pro-human. Now, look, that's not a contradiction. There are groups, religious groups like the Mennonites and Amish, that live their lives and they've decided to just reject all modern technology. And I honor them for that, by the way. I think the Amish are a really amazing group of people in so many ways, and the Mennonites, etc. I have no scorn for them whatsoever. They have chosen to live in a less, you know, technologically imposing way. And as a result, they have great sustainability, more resilience. Their children are smarter and more capable and healthier, by and large. But for the rest of us, you know, we use mobile phones. We use the internet, obviously. You're getting this that way. We use technology. You've used search engines, you know. You've used YouTube at one time or another. We built Brighteon. You know, you've used social media, etc. We use technology, but we use it to achieve the goals that are pro-humanity. And that's what this is about. So AI is going to change everything. We need to exploit, in essence, AI technology in a pro-human fashion so that it can help make us more productive, help make us more aware. It can decentralize knowledge and power away from the centralized control systems, which are the big corporations and the governments, and to put knowledge and tools into the hands of the people, which is what our AI engine, Enoch, is all about, the one that's coming out. Brighteon.ai is the website if you want to check that out. So that's my philosophy on AI. You are about to see and hear, even just from me, you're going to hear some amazing songs and music videos and things that just absolutely blow your mind. That's coming up, and I'll share those with you maybe as early as right after the first of the year. Just depends on how quickly I can get the right video together for some of these songs. All right, housekeeping item. I apologize if you were trying to purchase the new machetes or other knives from our store over the weekend, healthragerstore.com. We featured the Dawson knives, which I co-designed with the Dawson company, and new machete designs, knife designs, and a hatchet design. And then what happened is all those knives are handled through a merchant channel that uses a separate merchant account from our core merchant account. And that separate channel merchant account disabled all the sales, saying that they were weapons. Right. So over the weekend, we had to suspend all the sales temporarily because of that merchant or the merchant processor. Just bizarre, right? Oh, these are weapons. Hatchet? I mean, it's a tool. Okay, you could call it a weapon, I suppose. But in our mind, these are tools. These are not weapons. These are tools for living on a ranch, living out in the country, tools for survival. We have one knife called Escape from LA, right? It's a tool for escaping LA. You know, it's got a little zombie chopper on the front of it. No joke. It's got a wedge front. But as a result, you can't buy the knives right now. And I apologize, but it will be going back online here shortly, maybe in a day, 2 days, 3 days. I don't know. I'm sorry about that. There's nothing we could do. And it was just the worst timing ever because we just ran that interview with John Roy from Dawson Knives and everybody wanted the knives. And then it's like, all got turned off, you know? It was like the internet kill switch for knife sales. So we'll do our best to get that back online. Thank you for your patience. And I'm sorry. It's just, can you ever believe it's hard to sell knives? Really? I mean, it's not like they're switchblades or assassin's knives or anything. These are big knives. They're like machetes, man. They're tools. Okay. In the meantime, our Christmas sale event continues at healthrangerstore.com/Christmas. So if you want to check it out, you can see all of our specials, healthrangerstore.com/Christmas. It's good through December 26. And also, hey, right now at brightu.com, we have the latest from Brighton University. I'm going to bring it up here so I can get it right. It's the Next Pandemic Preparedness and Survival course. And I think today features Dr. Peter Bregan. And this started on Saturday. It ran yesterday. It's running today, tomorrow, all the way through January 1st. So go to brightu.com. That's the word bright, followed by the letter U. Brightu.com. Sign up there for free. Watch it every episode, or each episode streams for 24 hours in a loop. And then the next day, the next episode streams. You'll really enjoy that. Great, great interviews there, including Dr. Lee Merritt and others. Just amazing. Dr. Brian Artis, Dr. Judy Mikovits. Let's see, who else? Attorney Tom Renz and others. So definitely check that out. And then don't forget about year-end backup communications with the Satellite Phone Store, sat123.com, sat123.com. It looks like some areas of the Northeast are getting really, really cold right now, and some people are afraid that the power grid might not hold up fully. I'm not predicting a massive collapse or anything, but there might be some regional or local outages, so it's always good to have backup communications. The satellite phones that Satellite Phone Store offers makes them very affordable, and they work anywhere on Earth as long as you can see the sky. So check that out again, sat123.com. All right, with that said, enjoy the interview with Brian Festa from We the Patriots USA. And one other note, I'm not going to be publishing a normal schedule of interviews during the time between Christmas and New Year's. Instead, I'm going to be working on AI language models and AI music, and I'll have a lot for you after the first of the year. I'm taking Christmas Day off, But for me, generating music is a vacation in my head. Maybe I'll do a song about that. Wait a minute. Wasn't that an old Smash Mouth song, A Holiday in My Head? Yeah. Oh, gosh. I didn't mean to plagiarize that title, but yeah, didn't they have a song called Holiday in My Head? But I think that was about using recreational drugs. And that's not what I mean. I'm talking about enjoying the time of being creative. So if you get a chance to be creative over the holiday weekend or week, definitely take that opportunity. Express yourself in every way you can. And at some point, I will reveal all the tools that I'm using so you can use the same tools that I use if you wish. I've also developed a really good method for using our own Enoch language model for assisting with lyrics generation. There's a certain procedure that is just golden. And as I produce more music, I'll share that with you eventually. I'm going to refine it some more, but man, it's really good. But all of that coming up in the weeks ahead, so get prepared. All right, enjoy the interview with Brian Festa, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. All right, we've got a special holiday sale event happening at healthrangerstore.com beginning December 19th through December 26th, and we've got a lot of specials there, but a really cool bonus we have only available for those who purchase $149 or more. We have our new Silver Fresh fluoride-free toothpaste, which has been, of course, out of stock, and we had to reformulate it. And go ahead and show it. It's on my desk here. This is only available as a bonus item with purchases. You cannot buy this separately. This toothpaste is in very short supply. We're now making it in America, and it's made with Texas rainwater. It's made with a lot of other really natural ingredients, including essential oils like cinnamon. But check out the ingredients on our website, healthrangerstore.com. This sale event begins December 19th through December 26th. Numerous items that are on sale. And actually, the special URL is healthrangerstore.com/Christmas. Got it? healthrangerstore.com/Christmas. We'll get you right to the sale page of all the items that we have on sale, in stock, and available now. And importantly, your support of Health Ranger Store also helps support this platform and all the content that we are able to bring you: freedom of speech, truth about natural health and medicine, decentralized technology to empower your life, all kinds of issues. And, you know, a worldview that is pro-human, pro-liberty, pro-freedom, and looking forward to, you know, structuring and building a human civilization that is pro-human and helps free us from globalist tyranny. So our Silver Fresh toothpaste, it's fluoride free, obviously, because we don't want neurotoxins in the toothpaste. And the ingredients include a colloidal silver water that's made from Texas rainwater, xylitol, which has its own amazing properties. Let's see, baking soda. I'm not mentioning every ingredient, but the key ones: menthol crystals, organic stevia extract powder to give it a little bit of a sweet taste, but stevia also has its own antibacterial properties as well. Organic peppermint essential oil, anise oil, and organic cinnamon bark essential oil. So the flavor, the taste, the texture, it's really fantastic. We don't use any SLS. We don't use any fluoride. We don't use any artificial colors. We don't use any garbage ingredients, no filler, nothing. This is real effective, healthy toothpaste that also helps support gum health, oral health. Try this. You will never go back to a regular store-bought toothpaste ever again. And this is our new formulation. We make it ourselves. And again, available only now for the first time as a bonus item. If you purchase $149 or more during this Christmas sale event at healthrangerstore.com/Christmas. And thank you for all your support. Take care. All right, welcome everyone to this special Brighteon.com interview. It's audio only, no cameras today, because we have a very important guest with a breaking news update. I'm Mike Adams, of course, founder of Brighteon.com. I've been a fan for many years, and so have you probably, of Brian Festa at WeThePatriotsUSA.org. And Brian Festa, who is just a powerhouse of legal action to defend liberty and freedom for Americans and people all over the world in different ways. He joins us now with an update. Welcome, Brian Festa. It's an honor to have you on today.
Hi, Mike. It's an honor to be here as always. And yes, yesterday we had a huge filing. I'm not sure exactly when this will be put out. So yesterday was Thursday, December 19th. We had a very big legal filing that we were anticipating for a while now, and it finally dropped. That was Morella Ramirez, an Oakland, California kindergarten teacher that we are defending because she was fired from her job for refusing to use preferred pronouns in the classroom. Oh. Now this is kindergarten, Mike. We're talking about 5 and 6 year olds. Okay, 5 and 6 year olds. She's told her 5-year-old female student she has to start now referring to as a boy. And she says, no. She said, listen, I'm Catholic. It's against my religion. I'm a devout, Catholic. It violates the Christian faith to be participating in any way in gender transition. And you are participating because if you're referring to a girl as a boy, you're affirming that. You're acknowledging that that is true.
Right.
And that's
right.
Absolutely a violation. I agree with her. But that's absolutely a violation of the Christian faith and Catholic faith. And really, most world religions that I can think of, it's a violation of.
So, yeah. Right. And it also, it forces the teacher to play along with what I would consider to be a child's mental illness, which will lead to long-term consequences of mental illness typically associated with things like suicide, self-harm, or violence against others. So why should a teacher be forced to go along with a child's mental illness?
Well, right. And you know what? At 5 years old, I'm not even going to call it a mental illness. Because at 5 years old, boys can think they're going to turn into girls and girls think they're going to turn into boys. They don't know the difference. Their brains aren't anywhere close to being developed. When teenagers, young adults, yes, I definitely start referring to that as mental illness. But 5 year olds, I mean, they think, oh, I can be, I'm going to pretend to be a doggy today. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm a unicorn and I have imaginary friends. Yeah. Okay. I get it.
They don't even know what's going on. They can't consent to anything adult. We don't let children consent to things like sex, alcohol use, drug, any kind of, smoking, anything like that. Obviously, we don't do that. Why don't we do that? Because children can't consent. They don't have a developed brain enough. And now, actually, we know from science that your brain isn't fully developed, actually, until age 25. So you're talking about a 5-year-old child that in any other circumstance, we say they can't consent to adult things, but we're going to say they can consent to gender transition and gender mutilation surgery and hormone therapy. Psychiatrists involved, we are absolutely at the ready to defend you. But this case isn't even really about transgenderism and whether we agree with it or not. That's not what this case is about. This case is about free speech and religious freedom.
Yes.
Because Morella had the right to refuse. The Oakland, California, big surprise, right? The Oakland, California public schools is a state actor, is a government actor. And they are therefore bound by everything in the Constitution, including the Bill of Rights, which includes, of course, the First Amendment. And they compelled Morella's speech. They said, you have to say these things in the classroom. By the way, not for nothing, but it was a dual immersion classroom. So it means it was English and Spanish because Morella is, Hispanic. She was teaching kids both English and Spanish. So in Spanish, it's not just proper names that have to be, genderized, I should say, whatever the word is for it. I'm not a linguist, but you have to assign gender to nouns even.
Right, like el versus la, in Spanish.
It gets very confusing now if everything, because when something is possessive of that person, you have to refer to it also using those gender specific, suffixes and whatnot. So, and prefixes. So it gets very, very confusing now, but that's a side issue. The main issue was she said, I'm not going to tell this little girl that she's a boy now. I am not going to start referring to her by a different proper name. I am not going to give her the pass to the boys' bathroom, which was an issue as well that came up during her disciplinary proceedings, is that, the girl wanted to use the boys' bathroom. And obviously, Morella's against that as well.
Yeah.
So there's a whole host. It's a 30-page complaint. There was a very long story here But the long story short is they refused to accommodate her. She would have been willing to work with the district to accommodate her religious beliefs, but every accommodation they offered her was something that would have still violated her religious beliefs, because it still, in some way, required her to, you know, affirm that this child was transitioning. And the government just can't do that. The government is not allowed to do that.
Yeah, and you said something, I mean, this is extraordinary. I'm so glad that you have filed this, and I really want to encourage people to support you, because your organization, it lives off donations. So let me give out your website, wethepatriotsusa.org, wethepatriotsusa.org, and there's a donate button there. But you said something really important. You said that the state compelled her speech. So this isn't simply about censorship, where you're not allowed to say something. This is requiring a person to speak in a certain way in order to appease the requirements of the state, which are contradictory to both the teacher's religious beliefs, but also contradictory to biological facts and reality. So that is especially disturbing, that it is now compelled speech, because obviously it brings up the question, what else could the state command someone to say, right?
Right. I mean, that's what's very scary about it. I mean, censorship is equally scary, but it's very scary when the government says you have to say you have to say certain words a certain way. Even think about it the other way, because, you know, I was asked in the last interview I did on this topic, I was asked about, well, what would you say to all the people on the other side who say, oh, you just hate trans people, you know, all the people on obviously the progressive left, you just hate trans people, you're you know, homophobic, whatever they say, you know, they lump everything into one category and into one bucket. I would say, how would you feel if the government told you to say things that you disagreed with, such as maybe you don't agree with a lot of Christian beliefs, you don't agree with what are so-called conservative beliefs? What if you worked for a school and you were a teacher, and they said you had to teach those things to the children in your class, you had to start teaching them Christian theology and things like that? Would you want the right to oppose that and to reject that? It's the same thing here. So, you know, everyone who opposes this and thinks that we're, you know, hate mongers, whatever you're going to call us, stop and think for a moment what this case is really about. It's not about, there's nothing in there, by the way, that says we hate trans people. There's nothing in that. There's no hate speech in that lawsuit. It's all about free speech and your right to be free from compulsory speech at the hands of government actors. That's something everybody would be behind.
So exactly. Let me demonstrate this, right? So suppose it were flipped around. Suppose that America, suppose that a Christian authoritarian overlay swept across America, and the state of California commanded all its teachers to refer to children as child of Jesus, right? Like, hello, Mary, child of Jesus. Like, if the state compelled the teacher to do that, you and I both would still oppose that for the same reasons, right?
Absolutely. No one can be compelled, even if it's something that I agree with. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Even if it's something that I personally agree with myself, as a Christian and a Catholic as well, even if it's something that aligns with my faith, I would still file a lawsuit on behalf of a teacher who didn't want to be compelled to have to say certain things in the classroom, because that's what this is about.
Right.
It's not just a classroom. It's anywhere. It's even if you don't work for the government, if you're just in the public square, if you're just, you know, standing on your soapbox in the public square and you want to be able to say certain things, your First Amendment right, you have a right to do that. You're not disturbing the peace. You're not, you know, blasting loud music at midnight or something. You know, you're just making statements like you should be allowed to, right?
Yeah.
If the government told you you're not allowed to, or said you have to say certain things, okay, you can exercise your First Amendment rights, but you also have to say this. Here's some note cards. You have to say this when you get out there in the public square. They could literally, if this is allowed to stand, there will be precedent that the government would be allowed to do this. Now, I'm not afraid of that, because I feel very strongly the Supreme Court would never make such a ruling, would never say the government is the right to compel, because all of their jurisprudence up to now has consistently said the government cannot compel that kind of speech. So I'm not worried about that. But my point is, if we get this precedent, what it will do is it will empower teachers who are the first line of defense in our classrooms Say what you will with public school. Many of the people that follow us think that, you know, you shouldn't even have your kids in public school. And I can see that point of view. Some people really don't have a choice or feel they don't have a choice, or for whatever reason, they want their kids in certain public schools. The point is they should have the choice and have their kids free from dangerous indoctrination. And the teachers are the first line of defense. So the majority of teachers, I believe, in the United States of America, do not support gender transition of children.
Yes.
But they're too afraid to speak out because they'll lose their jobs. But if we have a precedent now, either from the Ninth Circuit, which is the largest circuit court in the United States that has the widest jurisdiction, or the Supreme Court of the United States, even better, that says teachers are protected if they want to refuse to implement that curriculum in their classroom, if they want to refuse to speak certain words, then they'll be empowered. You'll have all these teachers now in all 50 states fighting back and saying, I'm not going to do it. I'm protected by the Supreme Court's decision in, you know, Ramirez versus Oakland Public School District.
Right.
And can you imagine that? You now will have pressure on the books that no teacher has to implement something that violates their religious beliefs. That would include, by the way, certain CRT curriculum, DEI, LGBTQ. I mean, the list goes on and on, because if we have a precedent that says teachers don't have to implement it if it violates their religious beliefs, that can apply very broadly. And now we have teachers standing up and fighting back where the parents aren't. Because remember, these people are alone with your kids for 7 hours a day. The parents can,
yes,
can fight off the board school board meetings, but that's not as good as having teachers fighting back.
But importantly also, you're not saying that this teacher has a problem with the curriculum or the teaching materials. But
in my opinion, this is part of the curriculum, though. This is part of, because they're trying to teach these kids, Mike, when you're in a classroom, if my child is in a classroom next to other children and you're standing up there and calling Sally now, Michael, you know, I'm going to call Sally Michael now. And all the kids see that and say, you have to call Sally Michael too. Okay. So everyone in the classroom now has to use male pronouns and preferred pronouns and proper names to refer to this child. You have now taught a lesson. You have taught the children that.
True, true.
That, you know, and that's a form of religion, because what you're teaching them is an opposite, directly opposite religious belief from my own religious belief that I'm teaching my child that's in that classroom, and most other parents probably are teaching their children in that classroom. But the state is basically, I think it's a state-sponsored religion. I actually think it's an establishment clause violation as well. We'll get to that later. She has an EEOC complaint as well that we filed on behalf of her. That's not in court yet. That's a religious discrimination complaint. And the Establishment Clause is going to come into play there, because you're basically forcing an opposing religious belief on the children, a state-sponsored religious belief.
Okay. Now, this is just one case of many. You have gone to battle for so many people who I would say have been wrongfully fired from their jobs or coerced into all sorts of things in hospitals regarding vaccines, regarding employment. Can you, I mean, here we are at the end of 2024, essentially. Can you just give us just what are the three biggest cases that we, the Patriots USA, has taken on this year, whether or not they've been resolved yet, but just give us a little overview of kind of what you have done this year.
Well, this year and in the past 12 months, I'll say as well, even going back into late last year, I guess is what I'm trying to say. One of the biggest cases we had on your show, actually, it was highlighted twice on your show, was the Guidry case from Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
Which was very, very dear to your heart, because you have a connection to Missouri, obviously. And they had, Paul and Amanda Guidry had their four children medically kidnapped by the state, simply because they were using an alternative medical treatment. And that case is still ongoing, by the way. So that's not actually an old case. Yes, we did win a victory for them and got the children back in the home in 2023. But that case isn't over yet, because now we have new litigation to get them off the child abuse registry.
Yeah,
they never should have been there, because they were never convicted of any child abuse or neglect. It was just, you know, an accusation by the state of Missouri. And the children were ripped out of the home, including their youngest, a six-year-old boy with autism who's nonverbal, and was shipped around to four different foster homes in those 6 weeks.
Wow.
While we were racing into court, battling to get him back home. We got him back home within 6 weeks, which is lightning speed, actually. When kids are medically kidnapped, it takes months or even years sometimes to get them back into the custody of their parents. And we did it in 6 weeks. So we'll do that in any state, by the way. We've already been contacted. I can't reveal details yet because we haven't filed anything and it's not official that we're going to be filing this, but a parent, a mom from Ohio. So these are two supposedly red or reddish states, all right, where this is happening, which makes it even scarier. A mom from Ohio was reported just because she didn't want to use the formula that the doctor was recommended. She was doing breastfeeding only for her newborn.
Oh, wow.
The doctor made an accusation that the child is malnourished. He wasn't. She was under the care of another pediatrician. She said, well, I'm not going to go to your practice anymore. Because she didn't show up to her next appointment with that pediatrician, he reported her to the state. CPS came in, took her child away. But she was under the care of another pediatrician who was more holistic-minded and supportive of her breastfeeding. But the state, she said, she was desperate. When the state came out to her door, she said, listen, I'll do what you want. Fine, I'll give them the formula. Even though she didn't want to, because she was so scared of losing the baby. They said, nope, too late for that.
Wow.
They took the child away. And so that's another one that we're working on. Again, I can't release the names yet or everything, but we'll do this in any state. And medical kidnapping is so important because it's a scourge in America right now. People don't realize how big and widespread the problem is. It's happening in every state. I don't care whether it's a red state, a swing state, a blue state. It's happening everywhere. So wow. That's one big case. Another big case.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt. Before you go on, our audience supports your organization in a tremendous way. And yes. I know that when we've had you on, our audience has really opened up their hearts and their wallets in some cases to offer you donations. In fact, I remember when I was asking my audience, well, like, who should we donate to? Your organization was number one, the most voted org on the list of suggestions that we received. But I want you to know, Brian, how much our audience supports you. So let me ask my audience, if you donate to WeThePatriotsUSA.org, and your donation with 0.76 to indicate 1776. Okay, it says little code. So if you're going to donate $10, make it $10.76. $50, $50.76. $500, $500.76. Or $517.76, right? But put a 0.76 on it. And let me just say to the audience, look, you know, I don't earn anything on this, obviously. I donate to you as well, and I'm going to offer another donation before the end of this year. But I just want you to know, Brian, how much our audience supports you. So everybody use the 0.76 code to send a message. There you go.
Thank you, Mike, so much. I appreciate that. And we do have that year-end fundraiser right front and center at the top of our homepage. If you go to WeThePatriotsUSA.org, you'll see it there. And we greatly appreciate it. We love your listeners. Honestly, I get really excited anytime that Mike offers me an interview because I always know that you know these are our people. Your people are our people.
Yes.
and I love talking to them. And listen, reach out to me. I'm very accessible. I'm not one of these people. I'm a lawyer. My time is too valuable to talk to you. You know, I had a lawyer once tell me when I was first I was first a lawyer myself. I'd just been admitted to the bar and I was trying to seek some guidance on a real estate matter, actually, for myself. Not that I was practicing real estate law, because I never have, but I was seeking his guidance. Well, you know, he got all gruff with me. You know, a lawyer's advice is his stock and trade. Like he didn't want to, you know, consult with me, even though, you know, he knew I was a new attorney and I was just seeking some guidance and some of this stuff. And I always said, you know, I'm never going to say that to anyone. So I make that's why we're 100% pro bono. I don't charge any of our clients a penny for any of my time, my legal work, my, you know, advising them, you know, calling, my time on the phone. I don't charge them a penny. That's why we started a nonprofit, because I believe people should have access to vital legal services and information like this, even if they can't afford it. So you can reach out to me directly and personally at Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at WeThePatriotsUSA.org. That's my personal email. I check it several times a day, and you will get a direct response from me, and I'll even set up a call if it's something that I think we can help you with and if you would like my help.
Wow, that's very generous of you. You have been so generous with your time just across the board over the year. But I interrupted you, and I apologize. So you mentioned one big case there that you worked on in 2024. What are the other couple of cases that come to mind?
Yeah, so another case, the case that's still ongoing right now, and it's related to the other case that was just taken up by the Supreme Court. They just announced that they're granting review in the TikTok ban lawsuit. And so we have a lawsuit fighting the TikTok ban as well. And that is with Bobby Kennedy Jr. as one of our co-plaintiffs. We the Patriots USA is a plaintiff, and Kristen Megan Kelly, you may be familiar with, I think you do know her, from Michigan.
I've interviewed her too.
She also has a pretty big following on TikTok. And so the three of us together joined forces, although it was completely funded by We the Patriots USA, and our lead attorney is leading the charge on this. That is a case right now that we are, we're at the DC Court of Appeals. The other case was filed a little bit before ours, so unfortunately we are not consolidated with that case at the Supreme Court. We have some slightly different legal claims, still alleging a violation of the First Amendment. And I think that's so important, again, for free speech rights, because even if you hate the TikTok platform, even if you think there's a lot of dangerous stuff on there that shouldn't be out there, when the government says, again, this is the opposite of the Ramirez case in Oakland, right? When the government says, now you can't say certain things, you can't have a platform because you're sharing too much truth. You have a social media platform that we love, Brighteon. We have a Brighteon channel as well on your platform. And we're going to be posting more content. And, you know, I just learned about your social media pages. So we're going to be ramping those up as well. So please follow us, We the Patriots USA on Brighteon. So you understand, if you've been shut down, they've tried to shut you down. If they tried to shut down Brighteon and say you have to either sell it or complete, or we're going to ban it and it's not going to be available online anymore, you would want us to fight back for you. You know, even though there's a lot of people out there that don't like your content, Mike, there's people on the other side of these issues that don't want you saying the things you're saying. But that's wrong, because whether we agree with it, whether I personally agree with what you're saying or not, it doesn't matter. You have a right to say it. This is America. You have a right to share information publicly. Truth and knowledge is power, and they know that.
Absolutely. And, well, two things on that. First of all, number one, thank you for mentioning that you are going, I mean, you told me this before I interviewed, you are going to be increasing your use of the Brighteon platforms and posting all your news on Brighteon.social, which is our social media site, and most importantly, Brighteon.io, which is our decentralized, unconfiscatable, uncensorable, blockchain-driven peer-to-peer social media. Like, that's the one that will survive a nuclear war. Okay, so that's Brighteon.io. I just, when you get that set up, Brian, let me know your username there so I can share the word on that. But on, you'll be on Brighteon.social, Brighteon.io, and of course your videos are always welcome on Brighteon.com. And you know, keep using our platforms. We'll do our best to get the word out for you. And I know you will get a ton of followers on our platforms. And we're about to roll out new upgrades to our platforms as well. So, you know, they're not stagnant. We have a lot of really new and interesting things to roll out in 2025. And about the point of, yeah, some people don't agree with what I say or what RFK Jr. says or what Trump says or what have you. Well, guess what? The censors were wrong, man. The censors that deplatformed and smeared us, they were wrong, wrong, wrong. They were wrong about the masks. They were wrong about the lockdowns. They were wrong about, you know, putting children in homes for the whole school year and causing all kinds of, you know, dysfunctional, developmental, neurological problems. They were wrong. And because of free speech, I believe that we helped empower people, and you did too, with your legal expertise and your actions together. Man, we saved lives. We helped people. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you, Mike, because, you know, whenever you have me on, or anyone has me on, they thank me for the work I'm doing. And I appreciate that, the legal work and standing up for people that don't have the resources to stand up for themselves. And yes, it is important work. But I always say your work is equally important, if not more important. The reason I say that is because information, and again, sharing the truth, is the first step in changing things, in improving our lives, protecting our freedoms in America here, protecting our country. I mean, what happened? What's the most famous story that we hear out of the American Revolution, at least for me, that comes to mind, is one if by land, two if by sea.
Yep.
Probably here, right?
That's right. I was thinking that too.
What was that? That was the sharing of information. That was the code, right? That Paul Revere riding around telling everybody, when you see those lights, you'll know how they're coming, how the British are coming. And we all learned that, or we should have learned that in grade school.
I'm also thinking, how about Thomas Paine, common sense, right? The written word.
Yes, absolutely. And, well, 100%. You know, all of these things, we think of all of these writings, when we think of the history of our country, even, you know, Uncle Tom's Cabin, I mean, you can go on and on and on. You think of all the great treatises that were written throughout the American history. And again, it's writing, or it's the spoken word, it's communication that really affects change and saves and builds our nation. So, you know, if we only have the mainstream media propaganda mouthpiece of the government, which is all it is, if that's all we have, we're in big trouble. And the founders knew it. And that's why they wrote this into the very First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. They said, we better protect free speech, you know, above all else, that and religious liberty, of course, mm-hmm. the right to assembly, the power, the freedom of the press. All those things involve communication, though, right? Almost all of them. And religious liberty doesn't necessarily, but the other ones, they're all involved communication. Read that First Amendment. It's almost all about communication, sharing of information.
That's right.
So we need this, and that's why it's so important to have channels like Brighteon and the other ones that out there, Rumble. I know you've had a Rumble channel too for a long time. So, you know, we absolutely need these alternative platforms because, listen, we're still censored. Meta, Facebook, whatever, X, Elon's running it, but guess what? And if he ever hears this, you know, I know it's hard to get his attention for anyone to get his attention, not named Donald Trump. But if Elon's ever listening to this, you know, please help us because my co-founder, Don Jolly, president of We the Patriots USA, she's tried three times now since Elon's been in charge to get an account up and running back on X. And she's been booted each time. She's banned.
Uh-huh.
She's still banned.
Yeah.
You know, even you've been let back on. Even you have been. And you're one of the most banned people in America.
Well, I'm still shadow banned on X, by the way. I mean, they throttle my account. So they still play this game where they let you back on, but then they don't let you have much reach, right?
Right.
And they still ban links to Brighteon.com, which is why we sued X. Well, I mean, that lawsuit is pending right now.
And Meta too, right?
And Meta and Google and the Department of Defense and a bunch of other NGOs, some of which are being shut down now. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But
natural news. And anytime I used to try to share natural news too, I remember the first time that ever happened to me, I couldn't believe it. I'd never seen any other website that it did this for.
Yep.
And I couldn't even put the link in there. I'm like, not even in the comments. I said, so we had to put spaces between it and tell people to cut and paste all of your links. That's ridiculous.
No, but this is what we've all suffered through. And you know, thanks to organizations like yours, the tide is turning, Brian. We are pushing back. You know, the regime lost the election. It doesn't mean that Trump is perfect or that everything's going to be utopia. No, this is the beginning of the opportunity to fight back using the rule of law and freedom of speech and the spreading of good ideas. It's just the beginning, though. We're going to have to earn this. I mean, we're going to have to take this territory yard by yard, foot by foot here. To take back our freedoms, our First Amendment, our Second Amendment, our Fourth and Fifth Amendments, all of it. It's just the beginning.
Yes, absolutely. And you wanted a third lawsuit. I'll throw the Morello Ramirez one that we just talked about. We're doing that, by the way, in conjunction with the great Harmy Dillon. She is actually our local counsel in that case. We're the lead counsel. But our phenomenal attorney, Cameron Atkinson, but Harmeet, who's just been nominated by President Trump for a senior position in the Justice Department, she is her firm is our local counsel. So we've got some heavy hitters in there, you know, from, you know, Bobby Kennedy, Harmeet Dillon. But you know what? Which was the case that I said I was most proud of in the last year? It wasn't about any of them. Not that I don't love them, but it was Paul and Amanda Guidry.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just average, everyday Americans who had their children taken away by the state, and we stood up for them. That actually is at the top of my list of cases in the last year, because it's so vitally important, and so many of us are just parents. I mean, everyone can relate to that, right? Of having, and anyone who's ever had children, you know, having your child stolen from you, and me as a parent of an autistic child as well as vaccine injured, that really hit home for me because I thought of my child. If they had tried to take him away from me, I mean, I don't even want to tell you what happened. But it was just like, you know, absolutely. The fact that we got him back home in 6 weeks and all the children back home, I'm just so proud of that. And we have to get them off the child abuse registry because that is a crime too, right there, because their reputations are ruined. Once something's online like that, that you were labeled a child abuser by the state, that's not going away. The state should pay major damages to these people.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. And there's so many cases of that. We've seen the weaponization of government and agencies against the people. And this has happened at the federal level and the state. And as you've seen, also sometimes the county level, right? This has got to stop. The pushback is exactly what you're doing. That's what your organization is all about. So let me just repeat my encouragement to our audience here. If you're hearing this, we need your help. We, the PatriotsUSA.org, needs your financial support. It's end of year. It's a tax-deductible contribution. And if you choose to donate, I thank you personally. If you choose to donate, end your donation with 0.76 so that Brian Festa knows that's part of the freedom effort here that we're announcing. Is there anything else that you'd like to add, Brian, as we wrap this up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. Other than, again, I want to thank your audience for their support in the past. Everyone listening, you know who you are, who's donated. I don't get to talk to each one of you personally, although, you know, if, like I said, reach out to me if you would like to, even just to learn more. There are some people, too, that haven't had the opportunity to speak with me directly. Some people might even be considering a more, you know, substantial large gift, what we call those major gifts. If you have the capacity to do that and you want to learn more about our organization, we're very transparent. I can share with you our financials. Obviously, they're published online because they have to be as a nonprofit, the 990 forms. But I'm happy to open the books and show you how we use our money. And you can see for yourself, every time we have a legal announcement, whether it's a new lawsuit filed, whether it's a ruling that comes out, whether it's a victory, whatever it is, we publish it immediately, share it with all of our followers, and we link to the complaint. So even this case yesterday that we filed with Morella Ramirez in California, the 30-page complaint, and right in the press release on our website, there's a link where you can open it up and see the stamped, filed copy in the court. So you know that we're filing all these lawsuits. We put links when we have hearings, oral arguments, so you can even listen in on the court hearings.
Wow.
And we share that with our followers. I mean, not many organizations do that, but we do that because we think it's important for everyone to see that the work's actually getting done and to see where their money's going. So you can even go back to some of our past announcements, and they're still archived, some of our oral arguments and things like that. So follow us on Brighteon as soon as we have that new channel up as well, Brighteon.social, Brighteon.io. And then also to be We the Patriots USA. Mike will have the handle soon. And then everything else. We will have our email list. You can subscribe on our homepage at WeThePatriotsUSA.org, as well as our Telegram channel and our X channel, which is at WTPatriotsUSA. Thank you, Mike, as always. I really appreciate your time. And I wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a joyous and prosperous New Year.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Don't hang up. Thank you for joining me today. It's a good time to wrap it up. I've got animals going insane over here. I don't know if you could hear in my background. I've got crazy animals, but we all have a lot of things going on in our lives. We're compassionate. I love animals. I take care of, you know, my dogs, my donkeys, my goats, chickens, and everything, and fellow human beings. And you are compassionate. You have a heart for humanity. You have a heart filled with love for human freedom. And I thank you, Brian, for all that you're doing. WeThePatriotsUSA.org is the website. And if you choose to donate, folks, end your donation in 0.76 to indicate 1776. So thank you so much, Brian. It's been an honor.
Thanks, Mike.